Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. What if you hired a painter to paint your house, and you were paying him by the job? And so as he's painting your home, you know, he wants to get it done so he can get to his next job. He falls off a ladder, and then a trial lawyer sues you, and he's working in the style of John Edwards, who's John Kerry's vice presidential running mate. And he sues you because you were paying him by the job, and therefore he rushed, and he fell off his ladder, and he hurt himself. And the trial lawyer took everything you had, your home, your business, your $45,000 IRA for retirement for you and your wife. That's in my mind, that's what Senator John Edwards is like. But I didn't want to just take my own gut judgment of that. I wanted to go to an expert witness, another trial lawyer, Larry Klayman, who's an old friend of this show. Larry Klayman, welcome back to Bob Enyart Live.
Yes, thanks for having me.
Larry, we interviewed you years ago with your work in trying to expose what was going wrong in the Clinton administration. And we thought it'd be neat to have you on to give expert testimony as to John Edwards' record as a trial lawyer.
Well, you know, I sometimes joke about that. Reportedly, he's worth $14 million as a plaintiff's lawyer, and he must not have been very good, or he'd be worth a whole lot more. And it tells you a lot about the system. There's a tremendous amount of money that is made by these plaintiff's lawyers. Unfortunately, the money doesn't go to the victims usually. Mm. It goes to the lawyers. Mm. And that's part of the problem. And there was an article in the New York Times the other day, which I thought was very revealing, and that Edwards did what, you know, plaintiff's lawyers do. He cherry-picked his cases. Contrary to what he's saying, he didn't take cases on the basis necessarily of, you know, the worst case and how he could do good for society.
Right.
He cherry-picked the cases that were going to make the most money for him.
Yeah, where the people he was suing, whether they were doctors or hospitals, where they had a lot of money, and especially where his clients were poor and would be able to wring huge awards out of juries.
Well, where it was clear that you were going to be making easy money mm-hmm. off the top. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that contrasts that, and if I could be a little self-serving, I'm running for the U.S. Senate here in Florida, so when you do that, you have to be a little self-serving. The fact that I took cases at Judicial Watch that did good, I wasn't making money off those cases. We were, in fact, doing that pro bono for victims.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't profiteering. But Edwards is a breed of what we see in society of lawyers who prey off of the unhappiness of other people. Now, sometimes that can be good to have a lawyer who will stand up and who is strong. People are injured. They deserve to be protected.
Sure.
But he's not that guy. He would have been working for Judicial Watch for me if he was. Mm-hmm. Or some other organization like that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're on the left, you know, look at Ralph Nader. I don't agree with a lot of what Ralph stands for, though I do like the fact he's anti-establishment. But, you know, Ralph used being a trial lawyer, you know, for what he thought was good. And Edwards is the exact opposite. So I don't see how they can hold him up to some paradigm of virtue, notwithstanding the fact that he has little to no experience mm-hmm. in foreign affairs or, frankly, even intelligence, although he sat on the Senate Intelligence Committee.
Well,
to use an oxymoron for a few years.
Yeah, right. Larry Klayman, let me quote from that New York Times article you're referring to. There was a case while John Edwards sued mostly doctors and hospitals, and you know, medical malpractice insurance is so high and makes healthcare expensive for all of us because of lawyers like John Edwards, but in 1990, he sued a man was killed by a truck driver, and he won a huge settlement for the man's son, and he sued the trucking company itself, Collins and Aikman, because they paid their drivers by the mile. And that seems to me to be so despicable. It's, you know, we pay farmers by the bushel, and we pay painters to paint our homes. And so if a painter falls off a ladder and gets killed, lawyers in the going basically in the same style of John Edwards might want to take my home and my retirement for my wife and I because we were paying a painter by the job.
Well, yeah, the system is out of control, and any theory that will be used will be used. But this points out a bigger issue.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I differ with some of my Republican colleagues that are running against me down here in Florida. If people want to see my they can check out my website, Klayman, K-L-A-Y-M-A-N, Senate.com. But what we need are better judges, judges who aren't politicians in robes,
mm-hmm.
Who will throw out frivolous cases, who will cut back on damage awards, who will assess attorneys' fees, to go with, which is what some of my opponents want, you know, to limit the amount of damage for a person who truly is injured, mm-hmm. a woman who had the wrong breast taken off, or a man who went in for LASIK surgery and the device short-circuited it and it blinded him and he has excruciating eye pain for the rest of his life. It's not fair to make an arbitrary cutoff just because, you know, you want to be able to feather the nest of the vested interest. And I might add, I used to defend doctors, and most of these cases are frivolous.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is that we need these better judges, because the way senators send up judges to the president is usually based upon how much money that prospective judge's law firm raised for the senator.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get in office because the pay isn't so good. You don't get the best and the brightest. You know, it's not good compared to what you can make in the private sector. You get a lot of these government people who are just that, government people, you know, playing it safe at every turn. So I have a five-part proposal. One, have merits panels send them up, not the senators. Two, have judges schooled in how to be a judge, like a one-year tax program, like tax lawyers have, one-year LLM in judicial studies, so they know how to behave. Because a lot of these judges don't know how to behave, and it destroys confidence in the legal system. Three, term limits. That's the most important. That'll take a constitutional amendment. Make sure that these judges are not there for life. 2 5-year terms, renewable for doing your job correctly. Because they think they're above the law now that they're there for life and they have immunity. Four, limited liability. If they make an intentionally incorrect or grossly negligent or reckless decision, get them insurance and let the insurance companies pay for the damage that they do, because frequently parties can't afford to take appeals because they're little guys. I represented the little guy. Mm. And then five, psychological testing. But some of these judges are just plain crazy. And you can see that.
That's funny. Larry,
you know, and I always elicit a laugh with that, but I'll tell you, if you're in court, and I laugh at it too, and you see how these judges behave, it's like their wives and husbands have never talked to them before.
Right.
You know, they just have, they've got you captive, they pontificate, they're on everything except, you know, what they should be focused on,
well,
and it's an absolute disgrace.
Larry,
there are many good judges, but there are a lot of bad ones, and we have to
come up
with a system that we get better ones.
So, Larry Klayman, you're running for U.S. Senate in Florida. I know you're at an airport, and you've got to go, and we actually don't have a very good cell phone connection.
Oh, I apologize.
Oh, that's okay. But your website is KlaymanSenate.com, K-L-A-Y-M-A-N, Senate.com. And, Larry, sometime perhaps you're going to be busy, and maybe after the elections, after you win, maybe we could get you on, and we'd like to go through your 5-point plan and discuss it and debate it point by point. It'll be fun.
I'd love to, because we need to keep the legal system honest. That's what we're talking about here. That's one way to do it.
Yeah, and that's one of our favorite topics here. And we've been doing seminars all over the country on the criminal justice system, and from Honolulu to Pittsburgh for 10 years. And we'd like to go around on some of these issues with you in a future show.
I'd love to, and you've got a great show, and I look forward to coming back.
Well, thank you very much, Larry. Appreciate that.
God bless.
That's Larry Klayman. God bless you, Larry, running for U.S. Senate in Florida. And Larry's really done a fascinating job trying to expose what was going on in the Clinton administration through the courts. And man, did he... did he uncover a lot? And, of course, some of that is still going on. By the way, speaking of the Clinton administration, we plan to be in Little Rock, Arkansas, when the Clinton Library opens up. as part of our ongoing effort to make sure that history does not ignore but records the accusation by Juanita Broderick, one of Bill Clinton's campaign workers from years ago, that Bill Clinton violently raped her, that Bill Clinton raped Juanita Broderick. And the Wall Street Journal published a piece that stated, came right out. It didn't say that Bill Clinton allegedly raped Juanita Broderick, but the article they ran on this subject said that to interview the witnesses and to look at the evidence makes you realize that Bill Clinton, in fact, raped Juanita Broderick. They don't say that. They don't use the word alleged in that article. They say that when you speak to the witnesses, you realize that Bill Clinton, in fact, raped Juanita Broderick. And we here at Bob and Yurt Live, we actually had a worldwide exclusive with one of the witnesses, Nurse Norma Rogers. And she went to a nursing convention with Bill Clinton in Little Rock, Arkansas, when Bill Clinton was running for governor of Arkansas. And Bill Clinton had met Norma Rogers earlier. Norma owned a nursing home. And he had said, hey, you should come to Little Rock and help out with the campaign. Come to our campaign headquarters. So Norma Rogers said, well, we're going to be in Little Rock for a convention. So he gave her the phone number to call. And they went down there. They had a hotel room at the convention. And she was going to meet Bill Clinton in the lobby for coffee. And he called her before the meeting and said, no, there'll be press. Let's meet somewhere more private. Do you have a room? And she said, well, sure, we have a room. And he said, all right, we'll meet in your room. And it was in a very brief span of time that he got to her room and violently raped her, according to Juanita Broderick, who was excited about meeting him and wanting to campaign for him. And her life changed reasonably dramatically from that moment on. And Norma Rogers, who was a nurse who was there attending the conference and sharing the room with Juanita, she came in a little bit afterward and found Juanita Broderick sobbing in the bed, her face, her lips swollen twice their normal size, her face all messed up. And the first thing Norma Rogers did was begin to treat Juanita Broderick with ice and trying to care for her, as she found out through the sobbing that Juanita said she was just raped by Bill Clinton. And so the people involved with this, Juanita Broderick was ashamed of her own behavior, didn't believe that, didn't think that she would be believed. And which something that was despicable, she was married and she had been having an affair with another man. And that actually makes a woman vulnerable because she's not in the security of a marriage. She's already outside of the boundaries of that marriage. And so she, when Bill Clinton, according to Juanita Broderick, when he came on to her, she said, no, I can't do this. You don't understand. I'm married, but I'm in love with another man. And she's thinking, well, that's going to somehow get him to back off. No, not at all. That's like luring him in, because she's told him, hey, I'm the kind of woman who doesn't honor my commitment to my husband. And he thinks, hey, she's accessible. I can take her. And she's vulnerable. And people who sexually exploit women often look for victims that they think are vulnerable, that they can get away with it. And so she was basically, ashamed of the entire situation, and thought, there's no way people are going to believe me. Bill Clinton is running for governor. And she insisted that Norma Rogers, her nurse and her good friend, not tell anyone on their drive home. And they made up a story that she was injured by walking into a revolving door. And when she got home, people didn't believe her story. So anyway, now it's years later, and the Bill Clinton Library, and this is all coming to mind because we just had Larry Klayman on, who's caused Bill Clinton no end of grief, and in a good way. The Bill Clinton Presidential Library will be opening during the days of November 4th through the 18th in Little Rock, Arkansas. And we plan to be there with huge banners that say Clinton Rapist and handing out thousands of copies of that Wall Street Journal article and other information that bears on the accusation that Clinton is a rapist. And we want history to record is that pages of the New Testament tell us to expose wickedness. And John the Baptist, remember, he was eventually arrested. That's not our goal. And we'll just be using our free speech rights and be perfectly legal and safe and fun, in fact. It'll be enjoyable to be there with a number of committed Christians to try to make sure that history records the truth about Bill Clinton. But John the Baptist, he was arrested because he was criticizing the leader in his country, it was King Herod, for being an adulterer. And even worse. And John the Baptist didn't have the protections that we have here in America, and so it was a greater risk to him than it is to us. To us, what will it cost to get to Little Rock, Arkansas? Plane fare or gas mileage and get a hotel room if you want to stay there for a few days. We're in July right now. This is November 14th through the 18th. So that's Sunday, November 14th. At Denver Bible Church, we plan on leaving right after the church service around noon, 12:30. We'll leave the parking lot. And whoever would like to go with us, we'll have a little caravan. So I invite you to come on out. Call us at Bob and Yurt Live to find out more. We'll put up more information on our website at kgov.com or call 1-800-836-9278. That's 1-800-836-9278. And let us know that you would like to come along. And by the way, if the phone does not get answered, please leave your name and number, and we'll get back to you. Okay. All right. We have a little bit of time, and I want to tell you about this new video that I was privileged to be one of the first people in the country to preview an early release copy, a screener's copy. It's a sequel to Unlocking the Mysteries of Life. It's made by the same group, Illustra Media. And you know, that video, Unlocking the Mysteries of Life, it's aired on public TV stations around the country. It's probably the best video. I think it's the best video ever produced on refuting Darwinism and evolution and showing that there was a creator who designed us, an intelligent creator. Well, this video, we've got it in VHS and DVD. Actually, we've got this this pre-release copy. Later in August, you'll get to we should get our first order filled. But you can pre-order right now copies of The Privileged Planet. What a video this is. For people who think that the Earth is just a typical rock, a speck of dust floating through the universe, and there are probably billions of Earths, and there's most likely life anywhere, and there's nothing special or unique about the Earth. This is just an extraordinary video. And if you have been in the creation evolution debate for a long time, for years, and you've done a lot of reading, most likely you will still learn a lot from this video and be in awe of God's creation. And not only of our Earth and the Earth-Moon system and then our sun and how it all works together so perfectly, but then our solar system's place in our own galaxy. It is awesome to see the evidence that's being amassed by astronomers, astrophysicists, astrobiologists, to see how special and unique the Earth is and how the evidence is simply overwhelming. It's clearly evident that God created us. So this video, The Privileged Planet, we have it here for $24.95, and that's, by the way, not only is that so totally worth it, but also it'll help keep Bob and Your Live on the air, and we could use your help to stay on the air. We don't have an endowment behind us. We don't have national advertisers. We've got you, our listeners, and the ministry that we try to bring out here at Bob and Your Live is a ministry where we go against people who say either there is no God or there is a God, but he doesn't really care what you do. You could define your own standards of righteousness, of morality. So we try to combat all that. And evolution creation is one of the fundamental issues. And then beyond that, justice, criminal justice, and things like our government doing despicable things. So anyway, we here at Bob and Your Live, we want to invite you to come to our website at kgov.com. And there at KGov, by the way, you can get the shows that we've done here, interviews with great guests like Dick Morris, for example, in debates, where we had Dick Morris on here a few weeks ago. And, you know, he's the guy who helped the Clintons get elected for, for 20 years. And then he had his own scandal, his own sex scandal, while he was working at the White House. And he sort of fell off the face of the earth for a while. And he came back rather critical of Hillary Clinton, but always defending Bill Clinton. And since he became increasingly critical of Hillary Clinton, he became a favorite of conservative talk show hosts on Fox News and Sean Hannity's radio show and so many others. And so we booked him to come on to Bob and Your Live, and we were determined not to give him a free pass just because he criticizes Hillary, as though now that makes him a good guy, because he still defended Bill Clinton and Bill Clinton's administration. And Bill Clinton was a successful president. And so Dick Morris came on the show, and in a half hour show, we challenged him repeatedly to reconsider Bill Clinton as a good American president, because he was utterly morally corrupt. There's evidence, not only do we know, not evidence, but we know that he would pay women, subordinates often, or women, interns, for sex with tax money. How would he pay them with tax money? He would give them government jobs. And Dick Morris admitted that. And not only that, there is compelling evidence that he raped one of his campaign workers. And Dick Morris admitted that. So, and on, we look at Clinton's record, how despicable it was. And, you know, it certainly could be, it could be a coincidence. But we even had callers calling in the subsequent, in the last few weeks since that interview, saying, Bob, Dick Morris has been on the news probably 30 times since that interview on different shows and all around the country. And every time he's on now, he is openly stating that Bill Clinton should not have been president, that there's something wrong, that Bill Clinton was not qualified to be president, which is quite a turnaround. And so is that a coincidence? That could be a coincidence. But we're thrilled that it coincided with his interview right here and us challenging him and saying to Dick Morris, you have to stop defending Bill Clinton as a successful American president. He was a despicable man who helped to destroy this country and undermine our moral foundation. So obviously, after Dick Morris had his own scandal, he went through that. That was a real crisis in his own life. And he obviously did some deep soul searching. And so we're thrilled about his movement toward the right. That's really neat. But that's an example of what you get with Bob and Yurt Live, not just typically, hey, if you're criticizing Hillary Clinton, then you're a good guy. If you're a Republican, we'll give you a pass. No, we do our best to identify the standards of right and wrong that God wrote on our hearts, put in our conscience, and put in the Bible, in his word, and then we apply those principles to in our daily lives, not only to how we treat one another and our families, our neighbors, at church, but how we run our businesses and how our government should be run. And so to do all that and to continue to do that, we need your help. And so there's a couple ways that you could help. One is if you live in Colorado, to come and visit us at Denver Bible Church. Now, Bob and Yurt Live and Denver Bible Church, they're not the same entity. This Bob and Yurt Live is my own personal talk show. My wife and I, we run this Bob and Yurt Live. It's a business. We own this business. But the church is a church, and you don't own a church. And I happen to be the pastor of Denver Bible Church. And so I use our talk show to promote the ministry of Denver Bible Church. And so that's why, and people love the talk show, and there's many people listen around the country over the internet, and they can't come to the church. They don't even live in Colorado. But they want to support what we do, so they even will send donations to Bob and Yurt Live, even though it's a small business. But they realize the goal of this business is to reach people and to change hearts and minds and to get people saved. So on the air, we tell people often on our websites, we say if you want to give to donate to Bob and Yurt Live, please do. On the other hand, if you need a deduction for your donation, then please donate to Denver Bible Church. Because Denver Bible Church is not a business, it's a church. And so you can give to Denver Bible Church and, of course, support the same message that there's a creator God who made us and that we're responsible to him. So you could help us out by calling 800-8-NYART or go online to KGov, our website, kgov.com. And if you live in Colorado, then come on out and visit us at Denver Bible Church.